Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Negler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Happy Monday. Hope you had a great 4th of July weekend, wherever you were, whatever you were doing. Just know that by the end of it, you were that much closer to the start of Packers training camp. In fact, rookies report next Friday, July 18th. Let's go, people. We're so close. Can you feel it? Can you taste it? Can you sense it in the air? We are so close to Packers training camp. In the meantime, not a ton of headlines, not a ton of news, which actually is not unexpected and probably a good thing. I do think, though, we're starting to approach that window where start looking out for some possible Elgton Jenkins news, maybe other contract extension type things, maybe a Zach Tom, maybe even a Rashid Walker deal. I mean, we'll see. We'll see. But right now, on the heels of, July 4th and everything that went on and people having a good time, it's time to ease back into things. And I did want to highlight something today before I get to your questions and comments. And hello to everybody chiming in already in the comments section. Something that didn't get a lot of run, I guess, in the mainstream media, for lack of a better term. I didn't see a ton of kind of articles or obviously stuff on social about it. But did want to give a shout out to longtime trainer Pepper Burris and Elijah Pitts, obviously a legendary running back for Lombardi's Packers, who went on to become a longtime assistant coach in the NFL. On June 25th, former Packers running back Pitts and longtime trainer Burris were two of the 15 NFL contributors to be honored by the Pro Football Hall of Fame, receiving awards of excellence distinction. You know, it acknowledges contributors to the game and behind-the-scenes roles. In addition to public relations personnel, the program honors career assistant coaches, athletic trainers, equipment managers, and film/video directors. Just great to see a couple of longtime Packers, you know, player, trainer, etc., get just recognized by the Hall of Fame. I know probably most of you remember Pepper Burris. He had been with the Packers since the early 90s, and he really helped kind of spearhead the modernization of the training staff and facility at Lambeau Field. I know he's talked about it in the past regarding coming on board in Green Bay and things being, you know, not great and things being stuck kind of in the 70s and no one wanted to spend any money on this type of thing. And he really helped kind of turn that around. And the guys who are there now, Flea and his group, they, you know, obviously worked with Pepper for a long time and talk about how instrumental he was in, you know, that whole kind of staff and approach really began with him. And it's great to see him recognized. He's gotten a ton of awards throughout his kind of career. Just great to see him recognized by the Hall of Fame, along with Elijah Pitts, who obviously I was not around when he was playing. I certainly remember watching his son play, his son, who is now a member of CBS Sports. I've met on passing a couple of times. Elijah, though, was a longtime assistant coach in the NFL, never coached for the Packers, but was actually assistant head coach for the Bills back in the run of Super Bowls where they just couldn't quite close the deal. But he was doing that right up until the end of the end of the 90s. But just great to see a couple Packers legends get their due from the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and wanted to give him a shout out here because gosh knows, like I said, there wasn't a ton of kind of media around it, but any chance you get to highlight and appreciate some folks who made a big, big contribution to the green and gold, you know, that's worth mentioning in my mind. What's going on, everybody? Hope you're all doing well. Want to give a shout out, of course, to our good friends over at Ticket King. Based in Wisconsin since 1992, Ticket King is located across the street from Lambeau Field on Oneida. They're happy to help you find just the right tickets for Packers games, from larger groups to single tickets, both home and away. They partner with local Green Bay businesses for tailgating and bus transportation to the games, so you don't have to worry about parking, driving, any of that. They're even open on game day for last-minute tickets or possible upgrades. And if you're not in Green Bay, no problem. Just use the Ticket King link on the Cheesehead TV homepage or indeed in the description of this video. Don't use Ticketmaster, StubHub, SeatGeek, none of these national companies. Use a company based in Wisconsin since the early 90s. Ticket King for all your Packers ticket needs. What's going on, folks? Hope you're all doing well. Good to see you. Everybody chiming in. Ed starting us off with a super chat. What's going on, man? Any talk about getting rid of the chain gangs? Wimbledon got rid of the line judges, and for the most part, it's worked well. Not perfect, but well. Yes, actually, that is a development that feels inevitable. They have begun implementing some testing in the preseason, and I think this season there's a possibility that we might see an expansion of that. But yeah, it feels like it's finally coming. There's been a lot that's been talked about throughout the years regarding to trying to make it. One of the issues, though, is some of the 3D modeling as far as possession goes and being able to tell when a guy has possession and where that ball is in relation to the plane of the yard marker he's supposed to break, etc. I think those are things that will eventually get worked out. But it feels, like I said, it feels inevitable. That I don't doubt for a moment that sometime in our lifetime, Ed, probably sooner rather than later, we will see something like that. No doubt about it. I don't know if they'd ever really completely get rid of the chain gang just because of the optics. It's been such a noticeable part of the game for decades. I mean, really, for as long as I can remember. So I don't know if they'd ever completely do away with it, but certainly giving them some assistance. Let's say it that way. Mike Witt, how are you, man? Thanks for the super chat. Hey, Nags. Eeyore number two checking in. Still kind of puzzles me why, if they knew they were probably going to cut Jair, did they wait to the seventh round to draft to address corner? Random Packer GM Tom Bratz. Wow. What a pull. Clearly because they like what they have on hand way more than you do or the general public does. You know, I've talked about this quite a bit. I get that we have not seen the dudes behind, say, the top three, right? We haven't seen a ton of that. Well, those guys on the field, we're really not familiar with their game, but the Packers are, and the Packers really like what they've got there. Now, look, I have zero doubt. I have no question. We're going to get to the season, and every completed pass, every time there's a hole in the zone and someone's seemingly messed up, or God forbid someone gets beat in man coverage, which happens every single fucking game in the NFL. Every time one of these things happen, there are going to be people on the internet going, oh, should have drafted a corner. Oh, shouldn't have cut Jair. Man, on balance as a whole, they think their group is really good and can perform at a super high level that will help them win games and get to a championship. And I'm frustrated that they couldn't get anything for Jair. I'm frustrated that they're going to move on from a guy who was incredibly talented and get absolutely nothing in return. But clearly, they are very comfortable with where they are. All I can do is trust them. But, yeah, I don't think the draft really played into it as far as the draft fell and, you know, whoever was available when they were picking, they deemed their selections to be better players and or better fits or better long-term prospects for the Green Bay Packers. You know, I get everybody wants to go grocery shopping and wants to have their list and just pick everything you need. The Packers don't generally operate that way. We talk about this all the time during the draft industrial complex months. You know, they are trying to find the best football players long-term for their program. Not necessarily, oh, we need a corner. We got to go to the store and get one. And we'll see. Maybe they're dead wrong. Maybe they desperately needed to draft a corner early. I suspect they're going to be okay. But that's just me. Mr. Tundra, what's up? I heard today online that the Packers are high on undrafted free agent cornerback Tyron Herring out of Delaware. I hope his nickname is Red. That's so random. Paul, how are you, man? Hi, Nags. How was your holiday weekend? How do you see the secondary shaping up? Oh, funny. We were just talking about that, weren't we? I suspect the top three of Carrington Valentine and Keyshawn Nixon on the perimeter for the most part, and Hobbs at the slot, unless it's maybe a more power-oriented offense they're facing and maybe got Bullard down in the box. But I think those top three guys are going to be very, very good. Here's what's crazy to me is that I don't think people remember how well this secondary was playing down the stretch last year, say, you know, the last four or five games. And sure, you can pick apart certain plays, games where things probably went not as well as you would hope, etc. But also, they're dealing with some injuries, right? And certainly they had to juggle some things in a way that I don't think they're going to necessarily need to this year if and when injuries strike, because that's the thing. You don't go through an NFL season without some injuries, right? This is kind of what I was talking about with Cody a couple weeks ago in our defensive kind of preview, right? I don't doubt that given the type of defense they play, the vision-based, mostly or predominantly cover three and cover two scheme, I think it's going to fit these guys really well, and they are going to work really well together. Now, the one area where I do wonder, and I do get a little, that's could be interesting, is you let Jair Alexander go, supposedly, because he couldn't stay on the field. Missed all these games these last couple of years, missed all these games the last 4 years, and that's a frustration, and we're paying him a lot of money, and we're on our way, right? Okay, understandable. But then you go out in free agency and sign Hobbs to a pretty significant contract, who also happens to be a guy who hasn't been able to stay on the field. I don't know, man. I don't know. We'll see how that plays out. That's an interesting swap. But overall, like on paper, which is all we can talk about right now in the beginning of July, on paper, I understand what they're doing. And I think it makes a lot of sense. And there's a potential that it's successful. But none of that really matters until you get on the field and put the pads on and start playing these games. But that, to my eyes, I get it. It makes sense. What else we got here, folks? Jim, how are you, man? Yes, Jim, correct. Also, how do you draft a good corner if the board doesn't fall that way? Precisely, Jim. Although I know, now here's the thing, whenever you talk about this, there's inevitably going to be somebody that the draft industrial complex talked up or had highly rated, and everyone will go, well, so-and-so was on the board when they took such-and-such. Right, and they thought such-and-such was a better long-term prospect for their football program. It's that simple. But, you know, people just like to be upset. Mike Witt, what a question. I love it. Worst Packer GM, Tom Bratz or Mike Sherman? Man, that's a tough one, actually. I mean, they were both pretty damn bad, but I'll probably go with Mike Sherman. Mike at least was handed a, I'm not going to say full cupboard, but a pretty full cupboard. And, you know, didn't take long to really kind of mess it up. Let's say that. I mean, you know, the BJ Sander selection alone should probably win him that title, but it's a tough one. They were both not great, but I would probably give the nod to Sherman. Alex says, I see Nixon playing slot and Hobbs is a cornerback too. I think Hobbs will play on the perimeter in base when they only have two corners out there, but it will be opposite Nixon. Nixon is going to play a bunch on the outside, and they might kick him inside at times, certain situations. But predominantly, he's going to be a perimeter corner this year. Mark Marwood, don't believe me. Just watch. It's going to happen. Nick D, how are you, man? Thanks for Super Chat. Knucklehead middle of dead season question. So when do you think Matt LaFleur will announce Clay as a new hire to his staff? Thanks for cranking out the content. It's funny you ask that, Nick. And I assume you're joking and playing off of the all of the AI generated content on Facebook, one of which was this idea that Clay Matthews was going to be coming on board on the defensive staff. Something I saw yesterday on Facebook when I was updating my blogger page and looking at the Cheesehead TV page. There was a piece that said Matt LaFleur has said it was something political, like some stance he was taking politically. You know, and there were all these comments from actual human beings. And good on him. Like, yes, I totally agree with LaFleur, blah, blah, blah. And I shouldn't engage, but I had to comment. I'm like, of all the things that never happened, this happened the most neverest. Like, how are people so dumb? How are we this internet illiterate in 2025? Ugh. This drives me insane. Matthew Clark, how are you, man? How's life across the pond? Evening, Nags. What are you expecting from Lloyd? Oh, you know, about 1,300 yards, 12 touchdowns, 50 receptions, another three or four touchdowns. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I expect him to hit the ground running in camp and take that number two running back job. Nothing's a given. I know most people are kind of assuming that's going to be his gig. He's got to win it. Not going to be handed to him. And I know, obviously, it's a day two pick, right? He was a third rounder. It's a premium selection. You got to expect he'll be given every opportunity, but he's got to do it. So what am I expecting from Lloyd? To show up at camp and really turn some heads and show that he is that kind of change of pace that they need behind Josh Jacobs, but a guy who can also run with power, run between the tackles, not just be a guy who wants to bounce things out on the perimeter. Also, I want to see that he's absolutely 100 in pass pro. That was something that was a bit up and down last training camp, which is to be expected. Almost every single rookie running back coming into the league is up and down, to put it charitably. But he certainly looked capable, right? I just need him to absolutely show up ready to go and clearly stay healthy, right? I mean, he's got to stay on the field. He's got to become available in a way he wasn't last year. So, yeah, 1,000,000%. That's what I expect from Lloyd. Joe, what's going on, man? Thanks for the super chat. With Sorrell and Oliver likely to make the team as mid-round picks, is there room for Enigbare on this team? Maybe an underrated training camp battle. Well, first of all, I would not be so quick to be automatic with your assumptions here about Sorrell and Oliver. I mean, yes, most likely. Yes, correct, which is what you've written as likely. But they're not definitely not automatic, especially when you've got Enigbare, a guy who has played a ton of snaps for you. Oliver is the one I'll be very interested in seeing what he looks like once the pads come on, right? I think with Sorrell, I have a really good feeling that, yes, he will look the part, he will fit, and he will stay on the roster. He'll be there opening day. Oliver's a wild card to me. And if he does show up and it shows that he belongs, right, and is able to at least hang in some of the kind of more physical situations, stuff like, holding up in the running game and things like that, and he does make the squad, then Enigbare probably is on the bubble, no doubt about it. And maybe he becomes a trade candidate. A guy going into the last year of his deal, maybe they flip him for a pick. That's a possibility. I'm not predicting that, but certainly could potentially happen. I hate it. I have to say this all throughout the summer, but there's a long way to go when you talk about rookies, especially at that position, showing up and looking like they belong. It's one thing to do it in the offseason when you're in shorts. It's a whole other world when those pads come on and suddenly you've got Elgton Jenkins bearing down on you or, some offensive lineman ready to put your face in the dirt. We'll see. We shall see. But, Joe, you're not wrong in the sense that Enigbare has kind of been lost in the shuffle, right? Because there's been so much talk about Lucas Van Ness needing to step up and these new selections in the draft and how are they going to generate more pass rush? And people are always looking for new faces, names, etc. Hopefully, Enigbare shows up and surprises some folks. He played a lot of ball for them last year. Another year in the system. Who knows what he gives you in this kind of last year of his rookie deal. If the rookies show out, he's in for a battle. No doubt about it. Matthew. Non-Packers related, but please, can Chelsea stop selling your crap players to Arsenal? It's stopped being funny now. Go Pack, go. Can't wait for camp. Man, I don't know. I got nothing to say about any offseason moves from Chelsea. All I'm worried about, all I'm focused on, is beating that Brazilian side tomorrow here in New York. Actually, in Jersey at MetLife, the Club World Cup. Let's go Blues. Mike Witt, thanks for the super chat, man. When are we going to get the next episode of Transplants? I'm jonesing for a Banky rant. Mike, we've talked about doing one through the window of training camp. Whether that's when I'm in town or even when I'm back, we'll see. But we're working on a guest for this episode that would really send it over the top. So TBD, hopefully it'll be around, like I said, sometime in August. But without question, we'll be back for the season. So if we don't get it done this summer, fear not. Your next Banky rant will be available to you September. There you go. Thanks again, Mike. With him going to the Hall of Fame this year, will Sterling get a ceremony at Lambeau like Favre did? He absolutely should. Now, I don't know how Sterling and the franchise are as far as their relationship goes. It's always been a bit of a mystery, a bit of a touch-and-go thing. So, hopefully, I'd love to see a halftime ceremony, you know, his number up there, a reveal. But we'll see. As of right now, I've not heard of any plans. Somebody can correct me in the comments if they have, if there's something out there that I've missed. But I would certainly hope so, because Sterling Sharp is one of the obvious all-time greats, now solidified forever in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and without question, I mean, the greatest Packers receiver I ever saw with my own two eyes. So I really hope they get to do something for the man, because he brought me a lot of joy, and I would love to see that ceremony at Lambeau. It'd be a lot of fun. Jim, you're not wrong. Brenton Cox Jr. might get that last spot. It's possible. Mosby as well is going to be heard from. Some good competition there. But you know, traditionally, not always, but mostly, those young guys, those rookies are going to get every opportunity. But hey, you know, Brenton Cox had some moments last year. No question about it. I think it's one of the bigger battles as far as depth goes. I think you're going to have Rashawn and Lucas Van Ness as your frontline guys. And depending on how Van Ness does, maybe there's more opportunities there for guys further down the way on the depth chart to maybe get a little more playing time. We certainly saw that last year, though. Now that we know that Van Ness was dealing with a broken thumb, yeah, a little understanding there. But, yeah, I mean, I can't sugarcoat it. It's still, like, to me, people talk about corner. I am not worried about corner at all in this defense. I still remain incredibly trepidatious about the pass rush, not just the defensive ends, but the defensive tackles as well, given how little and how ineffective they were last season when asked to rush the quarterback with just four guys straight up, not generating things with scheme, but straight up rushing four. We all know, we all watched it. It was an incredible disappointment last season. We'll see. DeMarcus Covington, do your thing. We shall see. All right, everybody, I'm going to have to get going. I cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor. Hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family, Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Go Pack, go.